This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Okay, it's great to have back on. Good to have Roy Beard back with us. And Roy, of course, been on several times on here with me. He's also heard every weekday, 11:55 a.m. on the Word from the Wall, and then he's got a program every Tuesday, 1 p.m., 7 p.m. Discerning the Times. And so, Roy, it's good to have you back on this President's Day 2018.
Good to be here. A lot going on.
Lots happening. And I would dare say that, not to start off on a negative connotation, but most kids that are staying home today, they could not tell you much about President's Day, right?
That's absolutely true. We're not teaching in our schools anymore what needs to be taught and what should be taught. Our kids don't know about what our founders believe. They don't know. In fact, you and I have talked about this before. When we took the Bible and prayer and God out of the public school, mm-hmm. we were warned by our founders, Benjamin Franklin and others, that we would deal with delinquency, we would deal with criminality, we would deal with all kinds of problems when that happened. And yet I keep hearing people say, oh, no, the founders wanted nothing of the Bible in public schools. Really? They insisted that the Bible be the primary textbook. Yeah. It's amazing that someone would not want it to be there and then still insist that it needs to be taught.
It was,
in fact,
it was the
Fisher
only,
Ames...
It, yeah. Go ahead. I was going to say it was the only textbook that our school system had for many, many years, the Bible.
Absolutely. Fisher Ames and Dr. Benjamin Rush both argued that when they kept adding these little books that taught stories and supposed moral principles, then they took away from the Bible, and they needed to spend less time on those books and more time on the principles of the Bible, because the principles of the Bible was what helped this country become a country and become what it was then and what it would be. Mm-hmm. And so that's like, well, I mean, we've had another school shooting, and that's tragic. It breaks my heart. It breaks your heart. It should break everybody in America and the world's heart. But the immediate reaction that we've got to somehow ban the guns or have more laws on the books is missing the entire point. Yeah. The point is that evil is in the heart. It's not in the gun. If they didn't have a gun, they'd have a hatchet. If they didn't have a hatchet, they'd have a club. If they didn't have a club, they'd have something else. I don't think Cain had a club, a knife. He didn't have a gun when he killed Abel.
That's right.
Evil has been around, and it's going to continue. I told somebody the other day, I said, when those that are screaming for gun control and screaming that that's what we have to do in order to demonstrate compassion make that same kind of argument regarding abortion on demand, then mm-hmm. I will believe we can have a real conversation, because the genocide and the murdering of millions of babies yeah. is of no concern to people, and yet somehow Donald Trump's evil, Republicans are evil, the NRA is evil, the gun is evil, mm-hmm. and we've got to do something. Well, so, look at Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago is a prime example of the strictest gun laws in the nation, and it's the most violent city we've got.
Mm-hmm.
So we're missing the point. It's the heart, and if we don't get God back in this thing, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely an emergency, and that's what we're talking about today. And of course, I guess it's the NRAs, the shooting in Parkland, Florida was a tragedy there in the high school, but I guess it was the NRA's fault, right?
That's what they're saying. It's Donald Trump's and the NRA's fault. Now, how exactly? I don't know, because the NRA, and I've studied them for a long time and tried to determine if they are what the left is trying to make them out to be. And if they're only interested in hurting people like they claim they are, then I would oppose them. But I find that they are at the forefront of trying to teach gun safety and responsible gun ownership.
Yeah.
And what we do is when we take guns, take firearms out of the hands of law-abiding citizens who are responsible people, then what we do is we endanger people more. Mm-hmm. I upset some folks the other day. I said, you know, I can give you a partial solution. It won't solve the problem because we're not going to solve this problem by legislation and laws. I said one of the things you could do, and we should do, and some schools are doing it, is they're training teachers and allowing them to have training, and they're arming some of their teachers. And also another thing they could do and we should do is have off-duty policemen or retired policemen, mm-hmm. retired military who are responsible and capable, let them be armed and patrol the campuses. And I'll guarantee you it would cut down on the number of some of those, because people that do what this guy did and all the others do are cowards. Mm-hmm. They're cowards.
Yeah.
And they won't run into that place. But another thing that troubles me greatly, Dale, and I've tried my best to just simply say, the corruption in the FBI is at the top and it doesn't filter down. And I can stay with that. But incompetence that I'm seeing in this situation disturbs me very deeply, because there was a video blogger who saw a YouTube post by Nicholas Cruz, the alleged shooter, that he posted on there that he was going to become a professional school shooter. He notified the FBI. The FBI interrogated the guy that sent the message to them to tell to warn them. They never even one time talked to Cruz or his family. And then I found now that somebody from that school, just a very short time before this happened, contacted the FBI and said, this guy has a bunch of guns, he talks about guns, he talks about violence, he has fits of anger, and he's even talked about a school shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And they did nothing.
Well,
Dale, if we don't do something, I mean, if we get information like that, there should be red flags going up everywhere. And while I want to defend the Fourth Amendment and don't want our privacy to be violated, in that kind of situation, violate my privacy, check it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear what you're saying, Roy. And of course, they're blaming it on guns, but the guns was not the problem. I do believe, and I do concur that if there have been security guards, armed security guards at that school, he started shooting on the outside. Then he probably in the first place wouldn't have approached the school. And, of course,
right.
He could have been taken down before he ever got inside the school. So we're talking about,
absolutely.
We're not addressing the situation. You know, I know there's a lot of Christians and believers say, well, you know, we just need to pray. And I concur with that. That's what we're doing on bpnradio.com. But I've been declaring for a number of years, many years, that we need to have, impartation, we need to have revelation, but we also need information. Hosea said,
absolutely.
My people die for the lack of knowledge or the lack of
absolutely.
Information. So we need to inform our college and universities, our campuses, all across America, our students are getting all kinds of information, but it's not information like we're talking about today. You know, I believe there is a spiritual aspect, and I certainly believe that as a prophetic voice in America since 1985, but there's also a practical part. There's a yes. spiritual side, and there is a natural side. There is a spiritual side, and there's a practical side, and sometimes we just have to be practical about what's going on. And I started out talking about President's Day, and so many students not knowing, I guess it's about, you know, I'm thankful for the 45 presidents that have served us, some well and some not so well. But, right. you know, my study of President's Day is throughout the 19th century. George Washington was a towering figure. When I was in school, we celebrated this day as George Washington's birthday, our founder.
Right.
The man right. who was a man of principle and prayer. And we celebrated George Washington's birthday. Now, George Washington is being taken out of the history books. And, his birthday was celebrated more than any other observance other than, the 4th of July. So, when you and I went to school, we had George Washington's birthday and we had Abraham Lincoln's birthday, both in right. February. But understand that Richard Nixon was the guy that changed all of that about, got the change coming. And so now we're commemorating all U.S. presidents. And we know a little about George Washington, very little, and we know very little about Abraham Lincoln. In fact, our students today are being taught very little about history. Our history books are being removed. Our history books are being changed. And what will the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? That's a great question.
Right.
Our foundations,
absolutely.
Roy, in America are being destroyed. That's why we're calling America to pray. And so on this President's Day, I do want to honor some men that have made a major impact difference. And I just want to start with the President George Washington.
Amen. Where would we be? I mean, George Washington, from everything I can find in history, George Washington was a man that was very conscious of the need to have the favor of God and to walk in righteousness. And he said in his first inaugural address that if we turn our backs on God, we cannot expect the perpetual smiles of the Creator on that nation. And he warned us not to do that. And,
yeah.
and even many of our founders that people vilify and they say, oh, they were deists, they didn't believe in God and that kind of thing. I read something recently in Benjamin Franklin's autobiography, and where he made a statement that would preach in any church, any Christian church anywhere, mm-hmm. and it certainly wouldn't have been called deism, because he ascribed to God all power. He said that we needed to walk in righteousness before him, and that that all acts of good and evil would be rewarded either in this life or the life to come, that you count on it. There was going to be a payday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those men, and he was the one that insisted that because they were not getting anywhere in forming the Constitution, they were running into roadblock after roadblock. He said, gentlemen, what we need to do is begin every day with prayer.
Yeah.
We need to bring in preachers, bring in ministers, and let's have a prayer. Let's begin with prayer and focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if America began to pray and seriously turned up our attention to God? You talked about implementation and information a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
The prophets in the Old Testament and the direction in the New Testament, but when I go back to the Old Testament and look at the prophets and how that they impacted their land and what took place, there was always information given. They gave the people a warning. They gave the people a directive. They gave them something to pray about, and then people had to do something. I mean, when I think about the nation of Israel, that here we've got the king, and they're facing armies coming against them that are more than they can possibly handle, and he goes in weeping before God and praying, and a prophet stands up and says, God's going to fight this battle for you. And so the king says, okay, what we're going to do then is we're putting the fingers out in front of the army and we're going to praise God. And when they begin to praise God and take a stand to be at peace in God and to stand in what the prophet had said, then God routed the enemy. And it can happen again. It will happen again if we'll do that.
Yeah.
But if we focus on guns, if we focus on these, this and that and the other, and if we make this all a personality clash, then all we're going to do is cause more chaos and have more heartbreak and destruction and loss of life. And that's tragic. And that's not what any of us should want.
No. No, here on the on this President's Day, we need to seal it. We need to pause and consider what's happening in America. And, you know, the Holy Spirit told me last year that the storm was over, but the war had just begun. I believe the war is really heating up. In fact, in my 51 years of full-time ministry, I've never, ever felt such spiritual warfare that is going on in America. And I believe that, we must go to the next level, the church. We must go to the next level of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I believe that the future of our nation does not rest in the hands of the Supreme Court or the President or Vice President of the United States or Congress. I believe it rests on the church. What are we going? What are we going to do? And it is no time just to talk about some event or some motivational speech or I'm okay, you're okay.
Right.
I do believe that we can encourage the people, which we do. I believe we can give a positive information, but we need to warn the people about the dangers that we are facing. You know, when a major network and there's no correction to this young lady that called, hearing the voice of Jesus mental illness. She doesn't want her vice president speaking in tongues. What happened to this lady? Was she fired? Was she terminated? No, because we have a society that looks the other way. It's like it was in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and they didn't pay any attention to Noah and his family. They saw them building an ark for over 100 years, and they did not pay any attention. They just went about their business. But we cannot afford to do that. As Christians, we must stand in the gap. We must realize and we must warn other people what is going on. And we must listen to that, the first part of that warning, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I believe there's a major repentance, Roy. And I know that I talk about this some, but there needs to be a major repentance on behalf of our nation, and it needs to come from the church. And that's why I keep leading prayers on bpnradio.com, repenting for the sins of our nation, which includes greed, which is materialism, gluttony, self-indulgence, idolatry, which is hero worshiping, love of self, idol worship, abortion, over 60 million babies that you alluded to, over 60 million babies now killed, fornication, premarital sex, sex outside of marriage, living together before marriage. I mean, the average person on the street, they'd laugh at that. Adultery, infidelity, unfaithfulness, extramarital sex, affairs, flings, fooling around, playing around, dirty weekends, sodomy, which is homosexuality, anal sex, same-sex marriage, which is marriage between partners of the same sex, materialism, a tendency to consider material possessions and physical comfort more important than spiritual values, racism, prejudice, bigotry, discrimination, not caring for the poor, those who are out of work and able to work, the extremely impoverished, the destitute, those who experience hardships, insufficiency, the homeless. And so, you know, quite often I lead our listening audience repenting on behalf of our nation for the sins, particularly the moral sins of our nation. And, you know, when I look at history, with homosexuality, the gay population is growing, more people coming out of the closet. But when I read I read world history, I see that that is the final chapter of any nation, the acceptance and the embracing of that. And so we're living in dangerous days in America. Dangerous days, Roy, and I know you talk about it in your articles that you write, and you talk about it here on bpnradio.com. I think we need to pause and consider.
Absolutely, we do. It's amazing. Well, it's not amazing, it's disturbing. In fact, I was reading Ezekiel today, and Ezekiel 33, and God talking about the watchman, that the watchman sees something, and if he doesn't sound the alarm, then the blood's on his hands.
Yeah.
But if he does sound the alarm and they ignore it, then he's free of the blood, but the damage is still done. And that was what the Lord began to talk to my heart about is, yes, you can sound the alarm and they don't listen, and I absolve you of warning them, but what more can you do to get them to hear it? Don't just say it one time. Don't just say it passively. Mm-hmm. Say it with everything in you.
Yeah.
And he said, beyond that, you better become an intercessor. If you're not an intercessor, then giving a warning is going to sound like rain on a tin barn. It's not going to amount to much.
Yeah.
And that's where the church needs to be. We've got to get back to intercession. We've got to get back to fasting and praying. We've gotten away from some of the principles that and precepts and ways that our forefathers in the church and in this nation practiced, and we need to get back to it. We've got to get back to our founding principles and restore the moral moorings that have been cut loose in this nation. You talked about the things that were going on, the sins of the nation. People, absolutely, I see it. I talk to people, you do, and others do, even people that are in the church, and they say, well, I'm a Christian, but then, oh my goodness, some of the things they tell me they practice, I'm saying, Lord, how? How can they believe that that's okay with you? And they destroy their testimony to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're the church. You're right, exactly right. And I've contended this for a long time as well, that if the church, the reason we're in the shape we're in right now in America is not just because the devil's doing something, and it is the roots in him, but it's because we as the body of Christ didn't prevent it through prayer, through going to the polls, through working, through running for office if we needed to, and
right,
through our personal involvement.
Right.
We became negligent. We became slack. We got fat and lazy because things were good and we weren't under persecution. Well, guess what? Persecution's coming back to the church.
Yeah.
And it's going to make it, we're going to become strong. The body of Christ, the real church, is going to be strong. The persecution's coming back, and it's coming quickly.
Yes,
you're
it
right.
Is.
It's coming
yeah.
quickly.
Yeah, people like ladies like on The View mocking our vice president. You know, in days gone by, you would never have seen that. Of course, the Democratic Party took God out of their platform. And so, you know, these are our days when we must pray, and we must encourage, you and I have been in the ministry for a long time, we must encourage young preachers to declare the truth. We must declare, we must encourage the old preachers not to be silent. So, wow.
Amen.
Well, Roy, thank you for being on bpnradio.com, giving us a word from the wall, sharing things that you see, from your perch on the wall, what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. And of course, every Tuesday, at 1 and 7 p.m. And, tell the people how they can read your articles. Your articles are magnificent. You're an incredible, you're a great speaker, but you're an incredible writer. And, tell the people how they can read your daily blogs, Roy.
Okay. Well, the blog that where I talk about things, largely about a lot about politics and about what's going on in America and the world, is Roy Beard, BEAIRD.com. And then the other, I do a devotional that's I try to make it encouraging work and encourage people in the Lord, and that's Roy's Covenant Corner.wordpress.com. I'm of course, I'm on Facebook. They can find me there. And anything I can do, if anybody wants to contact me, of course, they could contact me through BPN Radio, and I have no problem with giving out an email address or anything like that. But the thing I want people to do is pray. Just pray. Begin to pray. If they'll pray, God will speak to their heart and tell them something they can actually do. Yeah. Pray and be willing to do what you hear. If we'll pray and become willing to do what we hear, we'll turn the tide of this thing. And I believe that.
Yeah. Well, I believe that too, Roy. And before you go, I want you to pray. And okay. I want to remind everybody you'll be back on 11:55 Central Time. So I'll play some worship music. You pray, Roy. It's great to have you on today.
Good to be here. Father, our hearts break for America and the world. But our hearts breaking doesn't compare to the heartbreak that I know you have. Because you created us, and Lord, you gave us so much. You've given us so much. You provided your only begotten Son, that he would go and suffer the shame of the cross to purchase us back and buy us back. And evil is waxing worse and worse, and it's growing worse, and people are becoming intolerant of everything, of you, and they're not sensitive to the Spirit of God any longer like we need to be. I ask that you not only protect our children and protect our nation and protect our families, but Lord, stir us up in the body of Christ, that we will recognize the writing on the wall. We'll recognize and discern the times. We'll understand what's going on. And we will also recognize that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the living God. And Lord, you said nothing would be impossible to us that believe. Help us that believe to become committed to intercession and not turn loose of the horns of the altar until we hear from heaven and see revival sweep America and then sweep the world and see the tide turn. I ask that you expose all the corruption in government, and Father, I expose every bit of it, and help us then to send people to Washington, D.C. that will honor you, honor the Constitution, honor the law, and be people of ethical principles. I pray in Jesus' name that you guard and guide and empower Dale and BPN Radio's voice to be heard around the world with authority, with power, and let us be a part of changing the world for God and for good. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much, Roy. Blessings.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
The hope of man, unclean, I fall before you now. Jesus, come wash me inside out. I'm running to the water now. I'm running to the water now. In your love. Thankful for
Thou art Don't you dare leave it on the ground.
Come on.
from this room, we shall carry our crosses into America, across America, and we shall plant those crosses, and we shall do His will with His Holy Spirit enabling us. Lord, bless these people. Lift your hands and receive the blessing of the Lord. Bless them with peace. Peace. Prosper them, Lord. Give them boldness to speak your word. Give them strength to minister. May they not be afraid. I don't know Americans to be afraid. Don't prove me wrong. Blessing of Abraham. Millionaires, billionaires, preachers, teachers, apostles. There's healers in this room. Bless these people. In Jesus' name we pray as a nation. Amen.
Is it true today that when people pray,